Dossier on Demetrius. A document now gathering dust in a silent room.
Gregory Keene turns the next page of The Dossier on Demetrius.
The murder of Tony Marzotti, before our eyes in his own flat in Burn Street, just as he was about to pronounce the words that would have given us Demetrius, set us back almost to where we had started in our hunt for the mystery man. It seemed as though he had some sort of second sight. No matter what moves we made against him, he was always there with the counter for them. And there were times when I wondered if we were hunting a creature of flesh and blood or a specter. This was one of them. But Demetrius was no specter. At that very moment, he was in his hiding place, the private hospital of whose existence we knew nothing, and with Marzotti out of the way, he was going ahead with the next step of his plans for acquiring the Gestapo hoard. Demetrius had learned long ago that criminals hide best behind the facade of respectability.
Yes, yes, he might do. What's your name? Nick Gassner, age 46. And he has dark complexion, thinning hair. Weight, yes, that's about right. Height 5'10". Yes. Well done, Yachty. I think you'll do very well, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, listen, Gassner, Yachty here tells us that you can be trusted. No, I don't want to hear you say a word. Just listen to me and answer when you're spoken to. Have you ever heard of a man named Max Rubenstein?
Nein.
Well, Max Rubenstein is an art dealer with galleries in Old Bond Street. Now, you're here because you bear him a superficial resemblance. Tomorrow you will be taken to see Rubenstein, or Rubenstein will come here. No matter what you hear him say, you will take absolutely no notice. Are you clear on that?
You are.
If Rubenstein comes here, you will be lying on a cot in one of Dr. Bookman's private rooms here in the sanatorium. You will be perfectly normal, but Rubenstein will be told you're drugged and unconscious. You will be expected to act as though you are. Then in a day or two, you will drive with Rubenstein and Yachty and myself to a quarry near a house in Norfolk. There, certain things will take place, and afterwards you will be paid. I need scarcely say that your life thereafter will depend on your silence. And for £5,000, it shouldn't be hard to forget that you ever saw any of us. You will stay here until your job is completed. Yachty will show you where to sleep. That's all for now. You can both get out of here.
No.
Well, we have to speed things up, Bookman. Keene came too close for comfort with Tony Marzotti. We can't expect a second deliverance by such a narrow margin. How's the time? After 2 a.m. Well, if you'll pour another glass of that brandy, I think we might well let matters rest till tomorrow.
Thanks very much, sister. I can see you've been looking after him marvelously. Well, Brother Peter, how do you feel? Sick of lying about in hospital.
Hi, Margaret. Actually, I feel jolly good. What have you got there?
10 or 50, cock tips.
Oh, good show. I say, you didn't manage to smuggle in any grog, did you?
No, I did not.
Oh.
And I've told Digby Mitchell to look out if I catch him bringing you anything to drink, too. Dr. Marlowe distinctly told...
Oh, all right, all right. So I just have to sit here perishing for want of a really decent slug. Well, now, tell me, what's going on?
Well, you've... Read about Tony Marzotti, I suppose.
Yes, but I refuse point blank to weep for the blighter.
No one's asking you to weep for him. I say, do you know what? I'm having a couple of dresses made.
So what?
From a certain Madame Reynaud. Oh, very French, very chic.
Now listen, Margaret. Do I have to listen to stories about your dressmaker?
Well, the point is, Peter, darling, she's not just an ordinary dressmaker.
I'm irresistibly fascinated by talk of tucks and gussets, but just what's so extraordinary about your Madame Reynaud?
He happens to be Hedy Bergner's dressmaker.
Well, now, isn't that ducky?
As a matter of fact, I have an idea. There's more to Hedy's visits to Madame Reynaud than meets the eye.
Oh?
Yes. You see, either the police or MI5 have her telephone tapped, and she's followed everywhere she goes. Gregory Keene tells her it's for her own protection. Well, she'd have to be a fool to believe him, but there it is anyway. And the point is, the only time she's out of their sight is when she's being fitted at Madame Reynaud's.
I can't see what's so terribly fishy about that.
Well, Keene just happened to mention it to me one day, and purely on a hunch, I thought I'd look into it. And, you know, she's spends absolutely hours and hours and hours in there. There's something funny about it, unless she's having a trousseau made.
Oh, maybe Gregory Keene's gone the whole distance and asked her to become his lawful wedded wife.
Oh, he had not. Don't be such an utter idiot.
Well, you don't have to snap my head completely off.
Keene marry that dreadful creature. Oh, it's unthinkable. Listen to me. I think Haley might go to that dressmaker's just to get rid of the people who follow her.
What, you mean there might be a back way out of the place or something?
Of course.
So you're buying dresses from Madame Reynaud?
Yes.
Now you be careful. By Godfrey, Margaret, you be careful. You've had one escape by the skin of your teeth. We don't want another.
Look, Peter, I don't care what risks I run. I'm going to find something about Haley Bergner and wave it under Gregory Keene's nose if it's the very last thing I do. I'll force him to admit she's a crook. She belongs to Demetrius. And she's been the cause of him not being able to get anywhere on this thing.
Since when have you found it necessary to do MI5's job?
Since I met the man.
Oh? Good grief. Don't tell me you've gone overboard for the chap.
Gone overboard? Peter, dear boy, I'm going to marry Major Keene. You just watch me. Now relax and listen, and see if you can find any flaws in what I'm going to do. And hand over a cigarette. Just because I bring you 50, you needn't think you're going to get the lot.
Well, I'll be hanged.
Ah, oh, there you are, Rubenstein. I took the liberty of helping myself to wine. It's not very good.
Please accept my most profound apologies. You have news?
Good news. We found the man who will pass for your body in the bottom of the quarry.
You have? Where is he?
In a drugged stupor at the sanatorium of Rudolf Buchmann.
Will the resemblance be sufficient?
You may judge that for yourself tonight.
So now, at last, we share our treasure. Just the two of us. Half a million each, Demetrius. Half a million each.
And made possible by me, don't forget that.
When do we go to the quarry?
Well, I thought tomorrow. I want to waste as little time as possible. I've already had to deal with one of my people.
Mazzotti.
Quite so, Mazzotti. We've already spent too much time here, and London has never agreed with me.
What is our exact procedure?
Well, first let us decide on yours. I've given the matter a very great deal of thought. One important detail suggests itself at once. After we have disposed of our unfortunate victim, you can scarcely return here to your galleries to collect the money and the jewels, because the victim must be taken for you.
I have been waiting for you to bring that up. What do you suggest we should do with our spoil?
Can you think of a safer place than Bookman's Sanatorium? It should be moved tonight.
Leaving you free to kill me? And escape without sharing it at all? And do you take me for a fool, my dear Demetrius?
When you talk like that, it's quite evident that you are.
And what would there to be to prevent you?
The fact that you would quite obviously protect yourself.
How?
In your place, I should do this. I should draw up an account of our whole transactions, with every last scrap of information you have about me. I should address it to Major Gregory Keene and leave it with a trusted confederate. You must have one person you can trust. Mademoiselle Dupont, perhaps.
I see you have made very thorough inquiries about me.
Did you think she was your secret, Rubenstein? Well, to proceed. I should leave the sealed package for Major Keene with Mademoiselle Dupont. Now then, she'd have instructions that unless she heard from you to the contrary, within a certain specified time, she would forward the packet to Keene, who, of course, would then be able to arrest me within an hour. You see? After finding the body of our victim, you would be presumed dead. But unless you were very much alive, you could betray me. That's how I would protect myself, Rubenstein.
Permit me to congratulate you on your intelligence. That is precisely what I have done.
As I knew you would. So now do you agree to bring the money to the sanatorium tonight?
I see no reason why not. But I warn you, Demetrius, if I am not alive 12 hours after we leave for the quarry in Norfolk, and if there is not a published account of my death in the press, then your game is up.
Oh, my game's not up, my dear fellow. Oh, no. We're going to share £1,000,000, you and I. Let's begin now by sharing the remains of this bottle.
We'll drink to success. But one thing. This man whose body used to become mine, what is his name?
Do you know, my dear Rubenstein, I haven't the faintest idea. I completely forgot to ask.
Good evening, Miss Ridgway. May I come in? Thank you. Shut the door, would you?
What is it? Will you come in and sit down, Major?
Look, Miss Ridgway, I must warn you. You and Digby Mitchell and Paul Barnet will find yourselves in serious trouble if you don't keep well out of this affair in future.
But I thought you wanted our help.
Not this kind of help. Do you think I don't know about you haunting Madame Renault's, the dressmaker where Hedy gets her clothes? Do you think we're utter fools on the embankment? There is no back way in and out of Madame Renault's establishment. Hedy spends a lot of time there because she's buying a lot of dresses, and I have seen them.
Have you really come here in this state to glow at me about Hedy Bergner's clothes?
Now, just tell Mitchell and Bonnet that they have 1 hour. I want her within the hour, Miss Ridgway, and I'm not fooling.
I've not the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Oh, look, I've no time to stand here admiring your wide eyes, girl. Get hold of your chums and tell them they've an hour.
Major Keene, kindly tell me what all this is about. They've an hour to do what?
Do you mean you don't know?
Oh, of course I don't know. What's happened? Oh, do tell me, please. I'm not lying to you, Major. Really, I'm not.
Someone got hold of Hedy Bergner last night, and she hasn't been seen since. I thought Mitchell and Bonnet had her, because with Mazzotti dead, they thought she was their last lead to Demetrius. And I thought that if it wasn't Mitchell, it must be Demetrius. But I was wrong. We were all wrong. And there were terrible things about to happen because of it.
Who kidnapped Hedy Bergner? Listen to the next chapter in this story of suspense. Dossier on Demetrius.